Ek gaan vanaand 'n bietjie meer van 'n ernstige woord bring en ek gaan gesels oor repentance, bekering. Bekering is die Afrikaanse woord van repentance, maar bekering sê dit net nie so lekker soos die Engels nie. Repentance voel eers ek moet iets doen. Ek moet aksie neem. En ek en Konrad het 'n bietjie gesels net in preparation vir ons preek nie net inkie pinkie ponkie. Daarie het 'n donkie. Ah, hierdie scripture, ons spreek oor dit nie. Ons voel regtig wat die Here wil kom doen en ons kyk ook wat die Here doen in die groter Josh Jane. En dit is iets wat op die oomblik besig is om te gebeur in die groter Josh Jane. Is ons glo die Here is besig om ons nader te roep en om ons te kom die Engels het 'n lekker woord te kom prune. Dankie Lila, lewende water. Besig om ons te kom heilig maak vir die dag wat hy terugkom. En ongelukkig weet ons nie wanneer daai dag is nie. Ons weet nie of dit vanaand is, of dit môre is, of dit oor 10, 20, 100 jaar is nie. Maar een ding is seker, is ons wil reg wees daardie dag as Jesus terugkom. En ons wil sê, Here, U het alles geweet van ons. Dit moenie 'n geheim wees as U terugkom en daar sonde en dinge wat in die donker is nie. Ons wil oop kaarte speel. En Ek weet van julle het Lucas Nakos wat in Sunningdale gepreek het laasweek. Hy het ook oor repentance gepreek. Ek weet daar's 'n paar communities wat hierdie preek deurgewerk het. So hierdie is nie 'n copy and paste nie. Ek gaan 'n paar punte, dit was 'n baie goeie preek. As jy dit nog nie geluister het nie, is jy welkom om dit te gaan luister. Ek gaan so 'n paar dingetjies aanraak en dan ook dit bietjie net terugbring na Wellington PM toe. Wat kan ons vat hier vanaf. En dan het Andrew het 'n videoklip gestuur. Dan gaan ons nou 'n videoklip ook kyk nadat ek gepreek het en dan gaan ons respond. So ek gaan vanaand 'n geleentheid gee as jy voel en terwyl ek preek en ons miskien die Heilige Gees kom druk knoppies en hy is besig om in jou hart te werk en as jy die geleentheid wil hê om te kom respond, om te sê Here, ek moet repent, ek moet regmaak. Gaan al 'n geleentheid wees. En ek gaan ook 'n geleentheid vir jou gee as jy nog nie vir Jesus ken nie, om vir Jesus aan te neem en om hom deel te maak van jou lewe. So, dis sommer net so in 'n netedop wat nou gaan gebeur. So, eerstens, ek weet nie of jy seker is nie, maar ons as kerk is in 'n battle, of ons as Christians is in 'n battle. Battle of darkness against the kingdom of darkness against kingdom of light. En wanneer ons veg, dan veg ons nie teen mense nie. Ons veg teen powers and principalities, soos wat dit in Efesiërs 6 sê. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against power of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of the evil heavenly realms. Ons het so 'n week terug, het ons 'n 24 uur gebedstyd gehad. En wat ons van 6 uur die aand tot die volgende dag 6 uur gebid het, vir 24 uur, en dit was ook, ek dink dit was net na Halloween gewees, en ek dink ons het in die gees, het ons 'n paar boksies geskit, en ons kan sien dat daar is 'n teks, wat na ons as kerk gerig word, so ons het 'n paar dinge gaan wakker maak, wat in die kingdom of darkness is, en ek glo daar is retaliation is 'n lekker woord wat na ons kant toe gerig is. Daar's soveel drome wat uitkom op die oomblik wat sê die enemy of in die drome is basies distraction. En ek glo dat die enemy is nie gelukkig met waarmee ons op die oomblik besig is nie. Hy is daarop uit in Johannes 10 vers 10. Ek het dit nou nie vir jou gegee nie, maar Johannes 10 vers 10 sê hy kom uit om te kill, steal and destroy. En ek glo dit is sy assignment op die oomblik vir ons. Hy wil kom verwoes, hy wil kom leuns plant, hy wil kom verhoudinge verwoes. En ons moet weet dat he who is in us is stronger than who is against us. So Jesus het klaar die battle gewen. Maar ons kan nie nou gaan slap lê ek gaan 'n voorbeeld, maar ons kan nie nou gaan slap lê nie. Dis nou juis wanneer ons moet indruk en moet sê, Here, dit is nou. Ons gaan nou op ons knie bly. Ons gaan veg vir unity onder mekaar. Ons gaan veg tussen unity tussen leiers, tussen in die community, waar ook al ons gaan, moet ons waak dat die enemy nie 'n foothold kan kry om disunity onder ons te bring nie. Want wanneer daar disunity is, is daar 'n oop deur vir die enemy om ons te kan kom attack. Waar daar unity is, wat doen die Here dan? I command a blessing. Where there is unity, God commands a blessing. So, solank ons in unity met mekaar is, en ek kan nie met Christine, ek het eintlik ontsteld met Christine, want ek wou eintlik met Lucas coming for dinner na haar ander huis toe gegaan het, en nou is hy 'n varkie in my hartjie, en ek wil nie met haar praat nie, en ek sukkel om te worship. Nee, daar kan nie iets tussen, en dit is baie, dis ons lag nou, maar dit is baie keer sulke klein, subtle goedjies, wat die enemy gebruik om disunity, om offense te bring, so dat daar disunity in die span is. Wanneer daar net hierso disunity is, of hierso, of way, waar ook al, maak ons die deur oop. Nou, ek weet nie of julle bok in die hok gespeel het toe julle klein was nie. As daar een opening is, dan is daar moeilikheid. Ok, so ek glo dat ons glo as ons, dat as daar unity is, dan kan ons veg as 'n unit. As daar met 'n rugby span, as hulle in die World Cup speel, of in enige wedstrijd speel, en iemand kry 'n rooi kaart, dadelik is die ander span sterker as die span met 'n rooi kaart of met 'n geel kaart. So, kom ons sien dat, as ons nie unity het nie, word een van ons afgestuur met 'n rooi kaart. Ons is een minder, ons is verswak. So ons moet veg om ons unit, as a family, as a body van Christus, sterk te hou. So dat die enemy ons nie kan kom afbreek en teen ons kan kom nie. Okay, so unity is, ek wil sê, super belangrik. Kom ons maak het ons oor toe waar ons is. Here, ons wil kom sommer net ons harte voor U bring. Here en Heilige Gees, ek wil kom vra, Here, dat U vir ons nou sal kom highlight, dat as daar enige disunity in ons harte is, as daar enige offense is, as daar enige jaloesie is, of pride is, Heilige Gees, ek bid dat U vir ons dit net sal kom uitlig, net so vir ons sal kom wys, ons sal kom herinner aan daai oomblik wat gebeur het, of daai WhatsApp wat ek gekry het, wat my hart net, Kom lig dit net uit vir ons, asseblief, Heilige Gees. Amen. Ek wil jou vra, hou jou hart sag. As die Here vir jou miskien net remind dan, toe Ben van by my gery het, het hy aan die ander kant, hy het nie vir my gewaai nie. Of eers, hy het miskien voor my by die til ingeslip, by Checkers. Ek vat nou stupid voorbeelde, maar as daar iets is wat die Here kom haal uit in jou hart, like, hou dit, skryf dit neer. Ons gaan nou gaan ons net 'n tyd vat waar ons sê, Here, ons bring hierdie goed voor U. We want to be a church that is in unity. Want ons soek U blessing. Okay. So, wanneer ons, dis so exciting dat Carla vanaand gedoop gaan word, want ek gaan dit nou noem, dit gaan een van ons stappe wees van how to follow Jesus well. En die eerste, daar's vier goeders. Die eerste ene is, we need to repent from sin. Okay? Tweede ene is, we need to believe in Jesus Christ. We need to believe that He is our Lord and our Savior. We need to get baptized. Okay? En dan die derde ene is, we need to receive the Holy Spirit. En as ons daai vier stappe het, glo ek dat jy set jouself op vir victory. Jy set jouself op om 'n goeie reis te kan hardloop. So wat is repentance? Repentance is ons moet verander. In 'n plain Afrikaans. We need to change. Ons moet verander dit wat ons dink, ons moet verander dit wat ons sê, ons moet verander dit wat ons doen, die manier van praat. Wanneer ons lewe vir die Here gee, kan ons nie aanhou mekaar sleg sê en vloek. Like, we need to change. Ons moet mekaar na Jesus toe kan wys. Ons moet verander dit wat ons doen. So as jy miskien verslaaf was aan pornografie,
as jy verslaaf was aan alkohol, as jy verslaaf is aan dobbel, I mean, wat ook al dit is, en ek noem nou groot goeders, maar het kan skinder wees, of het kan, like in jou gedagtes wees, wat jy net hier sit, en like, yes, ek hoop Wean val van sy stoel af, en hy maak sy kuit so seer, like, ek wens iets sleg op hom, ek wens dit nie, Wean, maar dit is nie soos outright, ek is besig om te sondig, ek maak mense dood, dit is hierdie klein ewelkies wat ons harte soms kom draai, dit is dit ook, dit is nie net, like ek is verslaaf aan iets nie, maar dit is hierdie klein jakkelkies wat die veld kom verwoes. En sonde is, of wanneer ons repent ons van sonde, wanneer ons vir bekering vra, of vir vergifnis vra, is dit vir sonde. En sonde, soos ek nou net gesê, dit is nie net die groot goeders nie, maar dit is enige iets wat ons wegvat van die Here af, of enige skrif wat ons lees, en ons mis die merk. Like, ons doen nie dit wat ons moet doen, wat die Here vir ons vra nie, is we sinning towards God. Ons is ongehoorsaam teenoor dit wat die Here vir ons vra. As die Here vir jou sê, Ben, jy moet vir iemand kos gee, of jy moet vir iemand vat vir koffie en alles betaal, of het is, jy moet jou salaris bless, jy moet vir iemand gaan sê, yes, well done, jy dien so goed. Like, sonde is wanneer ons ongehoorsaam is teenoor dit wat die Here van ons verwag. Het kan wees rebellie teenoor die Here. En die great en die nie great ding is nie, ons allemaal het gesondig. Wanneer jy daai eerste oomblik uit die womb uit inkom, dan is jy in 'n sondige wêreld. Like, dit is nie omdat jou ma stout was, of wat, like, soos wat jy in die wêreld inkom, is jy in 'n sondige wêreld, klaar, jy het verlossing nodig, jy het iemand nodig om daai sonde van jou af weg te vat. So, ons allemaal het gesondig, ons allemaal is besig om te sondig, en wanneer ons repent, en ek dink dis baie keer wanneer ons sonde na die Here te bring, want ek glo, ons allemaal is op 'n plek waar ons sê, yes, ek wil nie sondig nie, maar is moeilik om van dit ontslaa te raak, en baie keer dan sê ons, yes, okay, ons, wanneer ons repent van sonde, sê ons is in 'n leefstyl van pornografie, okay, ek loop in hierdie richting, ek repent, ek draai 180 grade om, en ek loop aan die kant toe, dis wat ons moet doen, maar baie keer wat ons doen, is ons sê jammer vir die Here oor iets of ons, ek het gesteel, ek het gevloek, ek het iemand, jy is baie seer in my gedagtes gemaak, wat ook al dit is, dan ons stap na 'n richting toe, en ons repent daarvan af, en ons draai 180 grade om, maar ons hou net aandraai, en ons gaan aan met waarmee ons besig is. So, ek het nou repent, so ek is fine. En ek dink dis waar ons wil kom vanavond is, ons wil nie 'n 360 grade repentance hê nie. Ons wil 180 grade hê. So as jy 'n grade boog het, die van julle wat, jy wil daai kant toe beweeg links, maar jy moet eintlik regs gaan. Like, ons wil nie heeltyd in 'n sirkel beweeg. Elke keer as jy tyd met die Here spandeer, dan moet jy eers repent. Yes, Here, ek is jammer, ek het nou alweer hierdie ding gedoen. Want vanavond kom jy, ek moet seker bid, yes, Here, ek is jammer, ek het nou alweer gevloek hierdie ou voor my inry. En dan morgenoggend, yes, Here, like, dit is ook nie waar die Here ons toe roep, om die heeltyd te kom jammer sê nie. Like, ons moet 'n keuse maak, anders moet nie jammer sê nie. Like, gaan help toe dan. Like, dis hard, maar dis waarmee ons besig is. Dit is like choosing life and choosing death. En ek wil ons roep vanaand om life te choose, want as ons nie life choose nie, wat choose ons? Daar is nie 'n McDonald's on the way roemhuis nie. Dis like this life or death. En ek dink dit is, ons moet soms die erns daarvan sit, like, hierdie petty sonde wat ons entertain, like, dit vat ons of, dit bring of lewe, of het bring dood. Want all sin leads to death. En scripture is duidelik, recht deur die skrif, praat die manne wat gepreek het in daai dae, like, you need to repent. Ek gaan vinnig 'n paar voorbeelde lees, in Markus 1 vers 14 tot 15 sê, "Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.'" Gospel is, Jesus het gekom, ons allemaal is op pad hel toe, want daar is sonde in die wêreld. So ons allemaal is op pad hel toe en Jesus het gekom en hy het gesê, "Maar ek wil hier 'n prys kom betaal sodat jy 'n opsie het om hemel toe te kan gaan, om by God die Vader te kan uitkom en nie net te default nie." Default is ongelukkig hel. As ons nie vir Jesus ken nie, ons neem hom nie aan nie, dan is default hel. En dis die great ding wat het sê in die skrif, "Repent and believe in the gospel so you might be saved." Lukas 14 vers 24, is julle nog met my, is dit te vinnig te hard? Ok, Lukas 14 vers 46, thus it is, sorry my skrif is als in Engels, dit Engels, hierdie skrif is net bietjie beter in Engels. "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer on the third day rise from the dead." Dis waar die krag vandaan kom. "And the repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations. So that the repentance for the forgiveness of sins." Like ons vat ons sonde na die Here toe en sê, "Here, like ek kan nie hierdie op my eie doen nie. I need you. Holy Spirit, I need you." Lukas 13 vers 1 tot 9 in die NIV wat ek hierso gaan lees is sê die volgende: "There was some present at the very time who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices, and he answered them, 'Do you not think that these Galileans were worse sinners than the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish.'" Dan gaan ek so 'n bietjie skiep. "And all the others who lived in Jerusalem know, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will likewise perish." Wat beteken perish? Vergaan, verval. Ons sit non-perishable foods in daai dingetjie, so dit nie afgaan nie, so dat dit langer hou. "The parable of the barren fig tree." En hy verduidelik dit so mooi. "And he told this parable, 'A man who had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it, and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, 'Look, for 3 years now, I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground?' And he answered him, 'Sir, let it alone for this year also, until I dig around it and put in more manure. Then if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down.'" So hier was hierdie boom, hy het nie vrug gedra nie, en die eienaar van hierdie stuk grond het gesê, "Sny hierdie boom af, ons kan 'n boom hierso plant wat vir ons vrug gee en ons kan geld maak, of ons kan eet, en dit is goed en reg. Maar hierdie boom staan net hier en mooi lyk, hy gee nie vir ons enige vrug nie." So die eienaar sê, "Sny die boom af, haal die wortels uit, plant 'n ander boom, sodat ons 'n boom kan hê wat vrug dra." En is dieselfde met ons. Ons lewens, dra ons lewens vrug? Het ons die vrug van die Gees? Kan as ons hier buite is, of as iemand na ons lewe kyk, kan ons sê, "Is hierdie ou dra vrug van Jesus?" Of moet die Vader ook sê, "Maar sny hierdie ou uit. Hy dra nie vrug nie. Kom ons sit iemand hierso wat wel vrug dra." En toe sê die vine dresser, "Maar Here, of maar nie Here nie. Meneer, gee ons nog 1 jaar. Ek gaan bietjie rondwerk hierso, ek gaan omspit, bietjie kompos gooi en dan hopelik na 'n jaar dra hierdie boom vrug." En die eienaar het gesê, "Okay, cool, ons gee hom nog 'n jaar." En ek dink dit is waar ek wil kom vanaand. Miskien is jou lewe op 'n punt waar jy sê, "Ah, wel, ek lewe my lewe, dit is lekker, ek lewe sondig, ek doen wat ek wil, ek hou van om mense sleg te sê, ek hou van net in sonde lewe." Maar iewers gaan jy op 'n punt kom waar jy gaan moet besluit. En ons weet nie wie Jesus volgende gaan kom haal nie. Maar een van ons is volgende. Dit mag vanaand wees, dit mag môre wees, dit mag whenever wees, maar ek wil jou smeek dat maak jou saak reg, dat wanneer die Here kom, dan is jy reg. Laat haar vrug wees, laat die Here kan sien, maar ek het hierdie kind geken. Kind ons is sy kinders. Of is jou lewe miskien op daai plek waar daar geen vrug is nie, waar daar geen verhouding is nie, of jy het al jou hart vir die Here gegee, maar hy's soos hierdie sonde waarmee ons speel, daai selfsug, dis vir ons lekker om ons eie ding te doen. En hierdie vine dresser het gesê, "Maar gee hom nog 'n kans. Gee die boom nog 'n kans." En ek glo dat die Here is 'n God wat vir ons kansse gee. En vanaand mag dalk jou kans wees wat die Heilige Gees met jou kom praat en sê, "Like, dis nou jou kans." Like, draai, gee oor. Praat met iemand, laat hulle jou help. Want dit is nie maklik nie. Like, om van goeders ontslae te raak, wat ons hele lewe lank mee besig is. Like, ons het hulp nodig. En dit is hoekom die family so belangrik is, om mekaar te help. Om uit te kyk en te sê, "Hey, ek hoor jy praat alweer nie so mooi nie. Sorry, ja." En ek glo die Here kom sê vanavond vir ons, like, "Oké, kom ons gee nog 'n kans. Kom ons gee nog 'n kans." En die kry ding is, ons het 'n geleentheid om te kan sê, "Here, ek gaan hierdie kans vat vanaand." En ek wil jou aanmoedig en ek wil jou, al dien jy die Here al 20, 30, 40 jaar, mens kan nooit te seker wees. Like, "Here, is daar iets? Kom Heilige Gees, is daar iets wat my terughou?" Ek gaan met inkom amper vir 'n landing. So, wat gebeur as ons nie repent nie? Ons hoor altyd, "Jesus, ons moet repent. Maar ek is prakties en ek is logies. As ek op my rekenaar tik en ek druk enter, wil ek weet wat gebeur as enter druk. As ek command delete of alt, ek weet nie wat Windows is nie, Control Alt Delete of Control Shift Delete. Ek wil weet wat gebeur as ek daai knoppies druk of F3. En dieselfde is wanneer ek besluite oor my lewe maak. Like, wat gaan gebeur as ek dit nie doen nie? Ons lees in die skrif dat ons sê ons moet repent. Maar wat gebeur as ons dit nie doen nie? Dit sê die volgende in Galasiërs 5. En daar's seker hiersoos 5 of 6 dele wat dit basies dieselfde sê, maar net for the sake of time gaan ek die een lees en die ander net vir ons die references gee. So in Galas 1 Korintiërs 6, as ons daai een kan opsit asseblief. Okay, "The very fact that you have lawsuits among you means that you have been completely defeated already. Why not rather be wrong? Why not rather be cheated instead? You yourselves cheat and do wrong." Okay, so dit is nie jy gaan skiet en maak dood en blaas bomme, dis jy cheat en jy doen net wat verkeerd is. "And you do this to your brothers and your sisters. Or, hier kom die ander kant, do you not know that the wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God?" As ons net daar stop, as ek nou sê, like, wie van ons wil nie die koninkryk van die Here ingaan nie? Wil jy jou hand opsteek? Like, ek is seker nie een van ons gaan ons hande wil opsteek vir daai nie. Like, wie wil nie saam met die Vader wees nie? Ons almal weet, Jesus, hierdie, dit klink soos 'n goeie idee. Hy lees ons verder, "Do not be deceived. Neither the sexual immoral, nor the idolaters, nor the adulterers, nor the men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." So dis nie net die groot sonde. Daar sê ding soos klein en groot sonde nie, maar as ons dit nou moet kategoriseer, dis nie net die guts en die lelike goed wat nie die koninkryk, like even like wrongdoers. Like ons moet seker maak dat ons as ons lewe oopmaak vir iemand, daar's niks wat teen die wil van die Here gaan nie. Like we need to fight for unity. We need to fight for ourselves and we need to daily. Daar's altyd hierdie gesprek like maar hoe weet ek? Ek het mos nou al jammer gesê. Like die key is kom ons hou ons harte sag vir Jesus. Want die cool ding is like hy het al reeds die prys vir ons betaal. Ons hoef nie 'n skaap en 'n lam te gaan slag nie. Ons kan dit braai. Maar ons hoef nie daai 'n sacrifice te gaan maak om ons way in die koninkryk in te koop nie. The Lamb of God is already killed. Is alreeds geslag. En ons 'n invite vir ons om te sê, yes, I want to take this invite. I want to go. I want to do this. I want to repent. I want to turn from my wicked ways and I'm running towards the kingdom of God. So, daar's 'n invitation vir elkeen van ons. Don't let it go. Like, ek weet nie om dit meer ernstig of meer duidelik te sê. Like, there's a call to the gospel and we need to respond to it. Ons gaan nou 'n video kyk. Dit is van Andrew Selly wat vir ons 'n video gestuur het vir al die Josh Jane kerke. So net om miskien net 'n ek dink almal is bewus daarvan dat daar elders van sekere congregations was wat in sin geval het en hulle is gestep down en met die idee sodat daai elders deur daai daai prosesse kan werk sodat hulle kan restore word. So ek wil nie nou te veel weggee van die video nie. Ek sal na die video sal ek net weer optel en dan van daar af gaan. So as ons die video kan speel, as ons miskien hierdie die ligte behoort van te wees. Thanks Hildegard.
Hey Justin, so this is a message that the elders have asked me to put out just to all of our congregations, just with a bit of news and a little bit of thought that we're wanting to really apply ourselves with regards to something that's going down right now within the life of the church. So about 2 months ago, I took away a bunch of lead elders in Justin and in one of the sessions, the presence of the Lord just broke in a wonderful way. And four of our pastors came out confessing that they were addicted to porn. There was an area of sin that came out in their lives. And obviously, this is quite serious. I will look at this in a bit more detail. One of the things the Bible tells us is when an elder is caught in sin, there needs to be a response that the church makes, and there's a reason for it. And so in 1 Timothy 5 verse 20, I'm going to read out of the New King James, just because I like the way it reads. It says, those who are sinning, those elders who are sinning, rebuke in the presence of all, so that the rest also may fear. And so those who are sinning, you rebuke in the presence of all, and so that the rest will also come into fear. And so one of the things we did, because of COVID, we weren't able to meet or do gatherings, which we would normally have processes at a corporate kind of gathering. We decided to process this within each of the local congregations. And so for each of the guys within their local context, they were able to get up, confess their sin to the congregation, and we've stepped all four of them down so that we can take them through a process of restoration, healing, and ultimately repentance. But just to give you who they are, it was Hannes who leads Melkbosstrand, Leonard who leads or has led Stellenbosch PM, Chris Durbanville PM, and Adam from Edgemead PM. And right now they're going through intensive counseling. We've got some guys sitting with them, working through a number of different areas and really trying to find why is this thing in their life? How do we help them to get free so that we can see them living in the freedom that Jesus has bought for us through the cross? We're hoping to restore them obviously as soon as possible, but not, you know, we don't want to restore them until they're ready, until we feel the Lord is ready to see them come back into serving Him the way they did before the confession of sin. So we quite encourage that Leonard is probably about to get restored. I think it'd probably be happening even over these next few days. And the others we're hoping to do over the next few weeks and months as the Lord leads us and as their repentance works its way through, as we just find them coming into healing and wholeness. But the Bible says that we should do this so that a fear will come upon the rest of us, so that we will learn from them. And obviously as elders, you learn from our victories, but you also learn from our failures. And in this case, their failure, their sin, now becomes a message to everyone that sin is serious and it can cost significantly. There's public confession, there's public repentance. These guys have been stepped down out of the roles that they were playing in for a season. And so there's quite significant ramifications to this. Obviously with the heart always to restore. But the problem is we are finding and quite concerned that there seems to be a different response within you as a church to what the Bible is actually looking for. Instead of a fear coming over you and a sense of like, whoa, this is serious, we need to stop it, we're concerned that there's actually almost a feeling coming over the church that if elders can't break free, well, then it's okay if I don't, and that God's mercy is in you every day. And so, you know, I'll just keep on kind of struggling along and repenting. But instead of the fear that would take you away from sin, there's been more of an acceptance of sin, because if elders sin, well then, you know, who are we? And so this is not what's supposed to happen. And I need to say a few things in light of this, because sin is normalized in a generation does not mean that it's any less deadly. The Bible says that in the end times, it'll be as in the days of Noah, where every single person was sinning. There was hardly anyone who was doing righteous. And so if you lived in that time, you might think you were doing quite well, but sin is still sin. And in the book of Romans, we read that sin gives birth to death. And so sin is a very deadly thing and something that we do not want you or any of us to be caught and enslaved in. Now, pornography is quite a significant sin, and I know it's very prevalent in our generation. It's very accessible today, but that doesn't make it any less deadly. And so I'm hoping to do a quick little breakdown on pornography for us so that we can realize the gravity of the sin and turn away from it if we're stuck in it. So the word pornography obviously wasn't in the original Greek Bible, because there was no such thing as pornography. There was no such thing as photos and the kind of things that we have today. But the root of the word pornography comes from the Greek word porneia, which literally means sexual immorality. And that word kind of is a broad word. It includes any different thing, any different sexual activity outside of marriage, and would include things like pornography, adultery, homosexuality. All those different things would technically fall under the broad term of porneia. It's sexual immorality. And this word porneia is used a lot in the Bible, because sexual sin is not a new thing. It's been around since pretty much soon after Adam, and it's something that Jesus came to break and destroy the power of. So in 1 Corinthians 6 verse 9, we have a very strong warning given to the church. And it says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral," and there that word porneia is used, those that are bound in a sexual immorality, "nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality will inherit the kingdom of God." And so this is a very dangerous sin. This scripture implies that if you continue in a pornographic lifestyle, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. It would be the equivalent in the Bible times of you and I going to a pagan temple where there were literally temple prostitutes and literally having sex with a temple prostitute. It would be that kind of level of sin, because Jesus said, if you look at a woman with lust, it's as though you've committed adultery with her in your heart. And so when it comes to the way God sees these things, these are very, very serious. Now, there's a concern, because obviously we understand as Christians that God is very merciful and gracious and kind. And we know scriptures that speak of His mercies are new every day, which is actually an Old Testament scripture. But it's still, the concept is very true, that there is a general sense that God is very merciful and that He's very forgiving, and we get a lot of fresh chances. The danger with this is that we think that that scripture means that every single day we're just going to find mercy, no matter what we did yesterday. And while on one hand we can find ridiculous amounts of grace and mercy, This is not a robotic thing, because that scripture was actually spoken to Israel and to Judah, who were both eventually cut off from God. And so his mercy was not new for them, because they continued in sin and didn't turn away from it towards him to find healing and wholeness. Likewise, in the New Testament, we warned very clearly about sexual sin, and it's extremely expensive. We read in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16 and 17. And I'm going to let you quote, this is the New Testament. It says, "See that no one is sexually immoral," and this would be porneia again, "or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. Afterwards, as you know, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. Even though he sought the blessing with tears, he could not change what he had done." And so here, this writing off of Esau, this cutting off of Esau, is actually brought through into the New Testament. And no matter how much he tried to get back the favor of God, he couldn't get it back. And the intro to this in the New Testament is that sexual sin is seen that same way by God. It is a very serious thing and not something you want to muck around with. So when you're caught in sin, we can come to him and find grace in our time of need. But God expects us to repent and to turn away from that sin, not to continue in sin as though his grace is just going to keep covering us. And there's a very stern warning in this in Hebrews 10, verse 26 to 29. And now I'm giving you this so that you will fear, because this is the point of what we read about right at the start, that we are to fear so that we don't go the same way as these elders have. We don't open our lives up to these areas of sin. And we warned in the letter to Hebrews, "For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire which consumes the adversaries of God. Anyone who has set aside the law of without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses, how much more severe punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' and again, 'The Lord will judge his people.' It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God." And so if you're watching this, I want you to understand, we need to understand that sexual sin is a serious sin. All other sins, the Bible says, we do outside of our body. But sexual sin is something that we do to our body, which is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And so when we join ourselves in these ways, we actually take what is holy and we join it to something which is demonic. And it's actually a terrible, terrible blasphemy against the name of God. And so I really want to encourage us that we need to allow the fear of the Lord to come over us, because these scriptures give very stern warnings, specifically around the areas of sexual sin. And if you're caught in pornography, I really want to encourage you that you will run from that sin, that you will turn away from it, that you will repent, because I do believe that the Lord is willing to forgive and you can find grace in your time of need. But if you carry on, just carrying on and carrying on, thinking that his grace is just going to cover you, you are deceived and I'm deceived. And we're in serious danger of actually no longer having a sacrifice for our sins. Somehow the sacrifice of Jesus will no longer be able to cover us, and we'll be found standing before the judgment seat of God instead of the mercy throne of grace. And so please hear this message. It's going out from me on behalf of the elders. And I want to encourage those who are caught in sin, get help, break free, do whatever it takes that you can break free from porneia, from sexual sin, and that you can come into the freedom that Jesus Christ died on a cross to give you, so that we can overcome sin and grow up to become like him, our Savior. I pray this helps you. I pray that this will help you to break free. And if you are needing help, please speak to one of your local elders and we'll try and walk with you so that you can come through into freedom in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Is it all okay? Okay, so repentance is ernstig, but in repentance there's safety. En ek dink, wanneer ons luister na hierdie, wanneer ons luister na die preek, is, dit moet nie iets wees wat, nou is ek bang, ek kan nie, ek wil nie, ek weet nie hoe nie. Dit is, thank you, Lord, that there is actually still grace for me to repent. There is still grace for me to come to you and make right.